The road to hell is paved with good intentions. The road to heaven is made with being intentional. If want and desire were enough to sustain my soul, I would never be lonely, but I realize my heart can't survive only on good intent. Sister Stacy Bryant, sitting here visiting with you, and I thought about the intentional things you've done in your life to grow as a woman, to grow as a wife, to grow as a vessel of God. And I wanted you to kind of help direct us in some of the things. One of the things that has impressed me is your confidence. And I asked you earlier, what put that confidence in a young woman of 21 plus? What put that there?
It definitely started growing up. My mother just poured that into me. Anytime, it starts at like middle school for girls, I feel like, you know, just the drama. There's this group of friends and this group of friends, and you can't be friends with both of them. And, you know, it just happens. I went to private school and it happened there too. And I would come home and say, Mom, I just want everybody to be friends. But if I do this and they don't like me, and she would just tell me, Stacy, you just be you. Be friendly to everybody and just be you. If you're not the one being ugly, you're not the one talking about them. At the end of the day, the ones that don't like you, that's on them. You know, and I'm not saying you don't have to ever worry about what people think, but she poured that into me. And then as a teenager, just all the peer pressure of, in my own youth group, maybe there was one or two that wouldn't invite me to things, you know, and it would bother me. And I'd be like, what did I do? You know, am I just that not cool? Like, they didn't want me to be a part. And she'd say, you know, leadership's a lonely place. You just keep being you. They don't like you. It's on them. As long as you're doing what you know to do, you're praying, living the way you know to live. At the end of the day, if people don't like you, that's really on them. And that sounds kind of harsh in the world we live in, because it sounds like, well, I just don't care what people think. I'm just going to do my thing. But you can do that as a Christian. You know, I think we look at that as what young people are told to do, in the sense that they don't have to follow anybody's leading. They can just be who they are and do their own thing. But you can be that as a Christian, you know, find your own path, do what you feel God's telling you to do.
All your life, that intentional training has made you to become a better person. You had your mom intentionally, or maybe not even intentionally. Maybe she didn't realize the impact. We talked about that. Didn't even realize how much those words meant. As a young mom, we need to intentionally put things in our children. Your mom did that. That's amazing. You're a blessed young woman. We talked about that yesterday too. Some people go, you don't know what it's like to have rough stuff. You're so blessed. Do you remember that conversation?
Yeah. I've actually had somebody just look me in the face as an adult and basically tell me that I made them sick because I just didn't understand how hard it could be. And I realize that I have lived such a blessed life. And I think I told you the other night, I'm trying not to get emotional. I try to make it a daily practice to thank the Lord for the blessed life that I've had. Because I do realize that. I've watched a lot of close friends of mine go through just unimaginable things. And I can't process, like, how did they get through that? You know, my husband's grandmother who just passed away. I mean, you hear her story and it's just like, oh my word. Like, they think I'm confident and strong. That lady was tough. I mean, went through some stuff and just came through it and raised those three girls in the church. And I realize that I was given a great privilege with the life I've lived. And I don't take that for granted. And I tell the Lord daily, Lord, don't ever let me forget where I came from and what a blessing it was. I don't ever want to forget that. I mean, that's very important. Mm-hmm.
That's confidence, not only in your training, but in your God. He brought you through and kept you from. That's amazing. I love that. We were talking about the confidence that's been intentionally put in you. Who else has put something in you? When you look back in your life, is there one person that kind of stands out in your mind that said, this person has changed my path?
Honestly, and it sounds cliche, but my grandmother, also Sister McLean, my entire life I'd watch her and I was amazed. I mean, the lady has so much energy. She would get up in the morning and she was in charge of like everything at the church. I mean, everything. And I get that she's a pastor's wife. She does a lot. You know, that's what a pastor's wife does. But she was like, she just took it all on. I mean, she wasn't the one that was like, I need some help. But no, she was like, I'm going to be up there first thing in the morning. I'm going to coordinate every ladies event. I'm going to coordinate every church event. I'm going to help do the music. I'm going to sing. But what she would do is she would get up to, my grandpa would have her get up to make an announcement. Maybe she was coordinating a cleaning day or a ladies thing or whatever. And he'd have her get up there and make the announcement so that it got made right, you know, and she would get up there and she would say, now church, I'm up here to make an announcement. But I have to say this. And she would go on this little rant about being rapture ready. That was her phrase. And she would say, I am here to make sure that you're rapture ready. And she would say, I know I come on strong sometimes. Because she would, you know, if you were out of line, she'd set you down. She did it to me more than once. But it never offended me because I knew. She got up there all the time and said, when I do that, it's because I want you to be rapture ready.
Intention.
Yes. And it put in me an understanding. Again, it doesn't matter what people think. At the end of the day, my job here on earth is to help people get to heaven. That's what I'm here for. As a Christian, I don't care if you're in the ministry or not. That's what you're here for. Mm-hmm. You're not here to just live life and you know, at the end of the day, have something to pass down to your kids and grandkids. That's not a bad thing, but that's not what we're here for. We're here to help people get to heaven, people that don't know how. And I think that put in that in me too. Just people are going to say things. They might be offended here and there. As long as that was not your intent and you were just trying to help people, you know, and I know that can be taken a lot of ways and I don't want it to be misunderstood, but living as a Christian, we're supposed to help people get there, you know?
We say a phrase around Apostolic Lighthouse, know him, make him known. That's our job.
Yeah.
For us to know him. Brother Bryant preached about it last night.
Yeah.
And for us to make him known. And I think we have to do those things intentionally. What are some things that you as a young woman have done intentionally to make yourself a more useful vessel to make him known?
Well, as a young person, I grew up being used in a lot of things in the church just because I was there. I mean, I was at every event. I was at every user, you know, so obviously those people are the ones that get picked to help with stuff, to be in dramas, to sing, to do. So I did all those things growing up. And I remember as a teenager, as every teenager does, starting to think about college and where I was going to go and what I was going to do. And I would pray and ask the Lord, Lord, I don't want to just go do, I mean, I wanted to be a dental hygienist at one point. I wanted to be a math teacher at one point. I wanted to be special needs music therapy for special needs. I wanted to do that. I mean, I went through all these things that I wanted to do. And somewhere along the way, I started realizing that I was coming kind of from a practical mindset about all of it. And that's not a bad thing. I grew up in a very practical household. So it is just ingrained in me. My first response, some people would say I'm a pessimist because my first response to an idea is, now here's the things that could go wrong. So make sure you figure those things out before you get started. Like that's just... And I don't think that's a pessimist. I call it a realist, but you know, you have to think about those things. But I realized, you know, somewhere along the way that practicality doesn't always pay off living for God because he does not work on practicality. When we think about being practical, it all comes from human mm-hmm. understanding, man's understanding. And God could care less about our understanding. I mean, you know, he's like, yeah, y'all just think y'all have this all figured out and you don't. So I studied things out, you know, I went to the Word of God, obviously. I watched people. I don't know. I think when I look back at that phase of my life, that younger phase, I don't know that there was a lot of it that I was doing intentionally. Some of it I think just came naturally because of my personality. I like to study things. I like to figure things out. My favorite subject was algebra because at the end of the problem, it made sense and I figured it out. There was an answer and that's just who I am. I want to find the answers. But as I got older, I think it did become intentional. When I got into college, I went to a community college for a year after high school. And then I went to Texas Bible College and I was out of the house. So that constant voice of my mother and my father, who also just put so much in me, just an understanding of responsibility and doing what you're supposed to do. You wake up every day and you do what has to be done because that's life, you know? I left that and here I am. Every college kid understands if they've moved away, it's like you're on your own. And I wasn't that kid that set out to just go do all the things because I was no longer at home. That wasn't my mindset. But I look back on it now and I feel like I was just like a leaf blowing in the wind. I mean, I was like so free at that point, not because they had tied me down at all, but because I had like this whole open mind concept of like, I didn't know a lot of this stuff existed. I mean, I was raised very sheltered. And here I'm coming to a Bible college where everybody else there, in my understanding, was going to be just like me, and they weren't. So at that point, I started facing a lot of insecurity through different things I went through all of there. And it was nobody's fault. I mean, it was a learning thing for me. And then I continued on that path of insecurity when I got married, because again, I was displaced from the people who knew me and understood me as a kid. I moved two states away to a wonderful church and a wonderful family. I mean, they love me like I'm theirs, you know, but it was different. Nothing was wrong. It was different. And I faced a lot of insecurity because I felt like I'm different and I don't fit here. So they don't know what to do with me. And they probably never thought that, okay? Like, let me make clear, that was all me. They probably never felt that way, but I felt that way. And because of that, I kind of went into a shell. I mean, I remember apologizing to my husband about 2 years in when I started learning, and I'm getting to the intentional part, for him having to live with the woman he had lived with for the last 2 years, because I didn't know who I'd become. I had just gone into this shell of insecurity and feeling like, I just don't fit here and I'm not sure how to fix that. So through that journey, I decided I'm not going to be this person that lives in a pity party for the rest of my life, trying to figure out why I don't fit. I'm going to find out. Like, let me figure out. Again, I was seeking those answers. So I got into, prayer is the number one thing. I did a lot of that, just getting on my face and going, God, what am I missing? Like, what am I missing? Because it's not that I was worried about fitting in. It was more, I wanted to make an impact the way I knew I was supposed to. And how am I supposed to do that when these people don't, I feel like they don't even get me, you know? And I started seeking out some just understanding. And I just happened upon personality tests. I've always thought they were interesting to read about why people are the way they are. And I took multiple personality tests. And along that time, a minister came through our church and did a young minister's class. And I was in it with my husband. And he said, you know, if you're going to be in ministry, you need to learn to study people. And that impressed me because I think so often we think all this psychology or, you know, personality test in the church, some people look at it like, oh, that really is just, that's for the world. It doesn't make sense for church people because we're all supposed to be filled with the Holy Ghost and be Christ-like, which is true. But we do have natural inclinations. All of us do. And that impressed me that he was willing to say that, like, you're not going to understand everybody you encounter along this walk. So do what you can to understand people. He used a phrase, I think it was him that actually started the phrase in our church, and several of the ministers use it now, and that is, people don't have excuses, they have reasons for the way they are. You know, we say, life is a choice, but at the end of the day, some people have had to make harder choices than others. So it's not an excuse, it's a reason. They're the way they are because something happened to them along the way. Again, intentional. You know, when those things happened, they had to intentionally make a choice at how they were going to proceed. We talked about that with you, you know, you had to make a choice. Intentionality is very important. And I think learning to understand that about people. And I started studying personalities and was amazed at how eye-opening it was for me. Because I realized then that I grew up in a home of five people who had very similar personalities. So on a really deep level, I had never had to learn to understand other personalities.
Anything more than what you were, right, surrounded by.
Yeah. So it was like, oh, so they don't all think that way. No wonder I don't make sense to some of these people because they don't all think the way I do. And that's okay. Fine. That's great. But I'm going to learn how they think.
Intentional.
Yes.
I'm going to.
Yeah.
And it helped.
Oh, my word. It helped tremendously. And I had somebody say to me as well, because I won't get too much into the personality thing, but as I told you the other night, my personality is a very black and white personality, okay? Well, living for God, you've got to understand there are some things. Now, I'm not talking about truth. I'm not talking about the word of God, but just in interactions and the way you handle things, there's a lot of gray area. There is. I mean, the way you decide to do a fundraiser at your church and the way I decide to do a fundraiser for the church I'm in is not going to be the same. And that's okay. So I had to get into my head acknowledging somebody else's way, acknowledging that they do it differently just because they want to, because of something that's happened in the past and they learned from it. That is not me saying that my way was wrong and their way was right. That's not what that is. It's acknowledging that God made us all different, mm-hmm. and that is okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay.
That goes in my mind, that goes back to God was intentional when he made you different than me.
Yes.
Because your job is not my job. My job is not, but God was intentional where he put you, the people he put you with, and how he trained you. God's mm-hmm. intentional.
Yes. He really is. And along that same line, I think I read it to you. It blew my mind when I heard it, but I was listening to the Chronicles of Narnia. And in one of the stories, he says, "Child, I'm telling her story, not yours. Everyone is told their own story." Something along those lines. I'm not quoting it exactly.
Aslan, I remember. Yes.
And it blew my mind because I thought, that's so true. Some of the stuff I've had to learn at, you know, 20 years old, 25 years old, I might meet a 60-year-old that never had to learn that and they may never learn it. And that's okay. They didn't have to. It wasn't part of their story. But wherever God's taken me, I had to learn that. So it's not my job to go tell them, well, you just don't understand this because, no, they've been on their journey. And I'm just supposed to help them if they need my help on their journey, not help them understand my journey.
I think about Esther. Esther would probably never relate to Ruth. Their journeys were both intentional, both purposeful, but that was their journey. And God used both of them.
Yeah. Wow. That's pretty amazing, actually. I might have to go study that now.
Score.
Yeah. God just has a way of putting us in the right place and teaching us the right things. My husband, you know, we are drastically opposite. And that was probably my first study of another personality because I had to figure it out.
Before or after the I do's? Never honestly, mind. It's okay.
It was probably after because, you know, in that dating phase, my goofy husband was just a blast. Are you kidding me? It was like, oh my word, he's so much fun. And he still is. But when you have to live with that guy, it's a little different. You go, oh, he literally is like this 24/7. So asking him to like do the most mundane of tasks in the house is like a job because he has to focus on something. And I love him to pieces. He's incredible, you know, but I had to study it. I had to figure his personality out because I was going, where is his focus? Like, what is he going after? You know, I mean, he worked a job and provided and did all those things, which is, you know, he's perfectly capable and responsible. But figuring out, okay, why does he get frustrated when I want to like have work day around the house? Because I function better in a house that's in order. And he's going, you want to take a Saturday off and spend it at our house reorganizing and cleaning things? Like, that is not my idea of a good Saturday. So that was probably my first, you know, real
intentional study.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But God put you together intentionally, your strengths, his strengths, your weaknesses, his weaknesses.
Oh my word. Yeah.
It's amazing because God is definitely intentional. And I think that's why it's important for us to realize in our walk with the Lord, Satan is intentional. He wants to derail us. He wants us to lose focus. But we as a Christian, we kind of just go through life unless we are purposefully pursuing him.
Yeah.
And then we're easy to be derailed because the enemy has purpose and focus. And we're just kind of like, whatever, unless we intentionally and purposefully pursue the master.
Yeah.
And his voice.
Yep.
I saw a little picture the other day and I don't even remember where I saw it, but this person is sitting there and there's their iPad and their earphones and their phone. And they're sitting there and they're like, Lord, I don't hear your voice anymore. Where have you been? Okay. Well, what are you pursuing?
Yeah.
And I love that about you, that you're intentional on making yourself a better vessel for the master.
Yeah.
That's incredible. We all need that goal and that intention in our life. Sister Kristen, you've been really quiet this whole conversation. I feel like we've kind of monopolized. I'd love to tap in on your thoughts.
It's good. No, I'm just listening here. As you're talking about intention, my mind's going back to, and we've had this devotion before, but knowing your why. Like if I can identify why, the reason, not excuse, the reason that I'm doing something, it puts more oomph behind what I'm doing. I mean, it makes a difference between just building just to build, but no, this is the kingdom of God. I'm doing something to help or bless his kingdom, knowing your why.
And that's a huge thing, that word kingdom. I grew up and I didn't understand this until, again, I was sheltered. I grew up in the same church my whole life. And, you know, every church is going to be different. And again, that's okay. But I didn't know, and this is not the moving from my home church to my now home church. It was not this church that I'm talking about. But as I went to Bible college and went on chorale tours and I saw all these different churches and how they interacted, and learning that not everyone has that concept of we're a part of a kingdom. Mm-hmm. That was huge for me. Brother Hall, another person who had a huge impact on me when I was in Bible school, he, incredibly talented musically. I mean, the guy is amazing. And he would practice with us and work with us and want it technically right. But before we got up to sing, he was going to find time. I mean, if we had to skip part of our sound check to go have prayer, we were going to have prayer. And when we got up that night, I remember going on a chorale tour. I think it was like my second chorale tour. He'd had me singing a solo and I didn't listen and go off of like sodas and sugar the week before. So after like night two, my voice was gone. And we get up for the next thing. And I mentioned to him like, hey, my voice is kind of shot. I'm just letting you know, because I was only like, we only had like two songs, I think, planned for me to sing solos on, but a couple of others that I had done solos before, a lot of times just kind of came up because it just worked, you know? So I'm kind of like, look, dude, I don't know if I can get through four songs. And he just kind of looked at me and he said, okay. Well, that night we sang all four songs. And I remember, again, that kind of insecurity thing popping up going, oh my word, my voice is shot. I'm barely getting through this. And that phrase that he used all the time, you are part of a bigger picture. What we are doing here tonight is not about Texas Bible College's chorale being heard and thought of as the greatest choir out there. We are here tonight so that God can move and somebody in this congregation can be touched. And it reminded me, I'm not up here to sound good. It doesn't matter if I squeak out this song. If I allow God to flow through me, this is a bigger picture. Even when we did the musical at Texas Bible College, we did that Gospel According to Scrooge. It was so much fun, like such a blast. It was like a dream to be a part of something like that. But he kept saying, this is not about a performance. There's a bigger picture here. We had city officials at that musical. And if something in that musical got to them, that's what we were there for. Mm-hmm. You know,
kingdom.
Don't go out there and give a great performance because you want to be recognized as a great actor or actress. Go out there and give the best performance you can so that something that is said will impact someone for the kingdom. And that is so important.
My mind goes to a puzzle piece. And, you know, God had this picture, this intention, this whole thing that he wanted to do. And your little bit, even though we were insecure, even though you were just, you know, not sure my voice is gone, God wanted to use your piece of that puzzle to complete a whole picture to reach whomever. And when I'm in a service, if I can look at it that way, God, I can't play this song like Sister C.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not what it's about. Let God use just your little piece of that puzzle to do the fulfillment that he wants to do in that service.
Exactly. Yeah, I face that too. Being on the road has been interesting because I do not call myself a musician. I don't mind singing because I've done it my entire life. I don't consider myself a musician. So when I get up to play, you know, some churches we go to, I don't usually play till altar call, and their music gets up there and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I have to get up and play in front of these people. And then I just remind myself, you know what? You're not singing to them. You're not playing for them.
Audience of one.
Yeah. Even at altar call, I'm doing my best to be sensitive, to make sure that the effort and all the work that my husband has put in that day, and then the Lord has allowed the Lord to use him and speak, that I'm not getting up there and just messing it up. But at the end of the day, when I start singing, it's to him.
Think about David, the psalmist. His intentions were not to sing beautiful and make beautiful songs for all the people. This is for the Lord.
Yeah, it is. It is. And if we can remember that, that's another thing, intentionality, that I was told by multiple music directors. And I remember at youth camp one summer, a preacher was preaching, and I'm sure everybody's heard this, but it was the first time I had heard it. And that was, he was talking about how important the word is. And he said, when you grow up on an apostolic pew, you don't realize the privilege of getting to sit in every service and hear the word, because it's normal to you. I mean, it's like what you slept through when you were an infant, when you grow up on the pew, you know? And he said, you better learn right now. You may hear the same sermon 100 times, but you better sit in that congregation and act like every word is for you. You better sit there and think, I just heard this last week, but this might be for me today.
Intentionally listening.
Yes. And the same thing with singing. Because again, I did it. I mean, I was on the platform at probably 5 or 6 with the kids choir. And then it was like every service starting at about 14 or 15. And it's easy to go through the motions. You know, you do it all the time. It's easy to get up there and just sing the song again, because this is what we do, you know. And somebody would say to me, listen to the words you're singing. When you're singing, think about it. Think about every word that comes out of your mouth, you know? And there were often times that I couldn't get through the song, because when I just stop and start thinking, I just sang this song 2 weeks ago and just got through it. And I'm standing up here today thinking, wow, how true this is, you know, being intentional about knowing that everything I do is to him and for his glory. It'll make a world of difference, that alone.
That he may be glorified.
Yes.
If I can take that approach, even when it hurts, even when it doesn't feel good, even when it doesn't make sense, that he may be glorified.
Right. I read another quote, and it happens to be another C.S. Lewis quote to Sister C, actually, when we first reconnected a few weeks ago. But, and again, I won't say it perfectly, but it so impacted me, because we don't like pain. None of us do. And I don't think that the Lord sets out to force us to go through pain. I don't think that's his intention, but we do face it because we live in this world, and this world is crazy. So to live in it as a Christian, we're going to face things. And that quote said, imagine that you're a house and God is remodeling. And at first you understand what he's doing. He's fixing the leaky pipes, putting a new roof on, something along these lines. And then it says, then all of a sudden you don't understand what he's doing, because he's knocking out a wall you didn't think needed to be knocked out. And he's, you know, hammering somewhere that it hurts a little bit. And it says, you thought you were being remodeled into a quaint little cottage, but he's building a mansion because he's going to live there. And I was like, wow. I don't want to be a quaint little cottage, Lord. I want to be the best mansion you've ever lived in, you know, even if it hurts, even if it hurts.
God is intentional in our development. I'm a firm believer. If we go to heaven, we will go there intentionally. I want to be on this journey intentionally, as useful, as available, as effective as he designed us to be.
Yeah.
I want to purposefully pursue the master, intentionally be useful, even when I don't feel like it. I want to know that he is pleased, because if the Lord looks at me when I stand before him and he says the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," the only way he will say that is if I did a good job, because he's not going to lie.
Yeah.
I want to intentionally know him.
Yeah.
And let him be intentionally used in my life.
Yeah.
How do I take everything we've said up to this point, all those points, and kind of just bring it into, I can take this, I can apply this to my life?
Well, first of all, I just want to point out, like we've said, God puts all of us on an intentional journey. So my story, you may listen to it and think, wow, she didn't really go through anything. And others may listen and think, oh, it sounds like she kind of went through some tough stuff. Okay. But I also said this to Sister C the other night when we were talking. What may look like my little bit of trauma, if we want to call it that, that I went through during that phase of learning, it may look like a little bit to some or a lot to others. But in your eyes, the things you're going through right now feel traumatic. And I understand that, because I remember thinking, like we said earlier, looking at other people while I was going through that and thinking, man, I'm such a wimp, you know, here I am feeling like I'm suffering and this is nothing, you know, but what you're going through right now is tough for you, because God's trying to talk to you. Just know that God's trying to teach you something. So, one thing that I had to learn during that time was to be careful of my communication, who I talked to when I was in those moments of frustration. Understanding that you don't want to go to somebody. First of all, you shouldn't walk around frustrating about it all the time anyway, because that's not going to help. But I do know how it feels to be in that moment of, you're just upset, you know, something happened, whether it was really serious, something happening, or, you know, just a conversation and something was said that really bothered you. Don't go to somebody and frustrate about it so they can frustrate with you. It's not going to help you. You're going to walk away from the situation feeling justified in your frustration, and you should never feel that way. Okay. It's okay to be frustrated. I'm not saying it's not, but you got to find a way out of the frustration. And I learned, you know, I tried not to give details to anybody I talked to. I mean, I didn't want to make anybody look bad. You know, the person that I had that conversation with, I didn't want to go around saying, well, so-and-so said this to me and it really hurt my feelings. No, but I found out that there was a couple of people in my life that I could call and say, I'm not going to tell you who or whatever, you know, I didn't mention names or details, but I'd say, you know, somebody told me that they felt this about me. Do you see that in me? Like, is that there? Cause sometimes I don't see myself and I know that. And they would say, well, you know, sometimes they would be honest enough to say, yeah, I have seen that, you know, something to think about. And sometimes they would just say, well, I don't think that, but just, you know, maybe you should just pray about it. Tell the Lord, Lord, if I'm doing that, help me to see it. If I'm part of this problem, if I'm attributing to this frustration because of something I'm doing, help me see it. You know, give me wisdom to find my way out of that frustrating situation. And it may not be that the Lord's actually going to remove you from the situation, but he will help you find a way through those things and teach you through it, because you can't dwell frustrated. I mean, you can't live there.
So you're saying intentionally pick the voices that you allow to speak into your life.
Yeah. And I mean, it can be different people for everybody. You know, it might be somebody that's in your family. A lot of times family tends to be the one to take your side. So just be careful doing that. And they should, I mean, that's a good family, right? But be aware of that. Find somebody, if it has to be, you know, maybe it's your pastor or pastor's wife or a youth leader or whoever it may be. Find somebody that is not going to jump on your bandwagon or rile you up even more. Mm-hmm. As much as we love those people, we want them in our corner when we're fighting for the right things. We don't want them to help us be frustrated.
So intentionally, we're picking who's speaking into our lives. That's important. And it needs to be somebody that's following God and they're intentional about their relationship with the Lord.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yes.
What about the young person that is, as there's a poem, the road less traveled. How can you encourage them to be intentional of where they're going? Have a goal or something that says, I know I have a choice.
This is a tough one because when you're a young person, that is not an easy choice to make. And sometimes I look back and feel like I know I did make that choice because I could have done some other things as a teenager. But I honestly just never had that desire. So I would say now, where I'm at right now, looking back on that and knowing my life could have gone very differently, I would say, understand that is the perfect term, road less traveled, because if you go and fall under the peer pressure and do all the things you're being encouraged to do, and in a sense, all of those people end up in the same place. And just know it might look tough right now to especially, it helps that I was an introvert. I liked having friends, but at the same time, I was like, I don't have to be in the middle of every party. Mm. Now, my husband, on the other hand, that choice is probably a lot harder for him because he loves being in the middle of a party. But I would say, even if you're the type that's like, oh, but I just want to be a part of all the fun and I just want to be known as the guy who's or the girl who's always having fun, you know, you can have fun and make the right choices and know that 10 years from now, all of those who fell under all the peer pressure, they're all going to be living basically the same life. If you will choose the road less traveled, God will give you a beautiful journey that nobody else gets to go on. In fact, we heard a sermon last night, and I think he alluded to that when he said it. He said, if you'll choose to go there, you have to choose. Mm-hmm. You have to understand it's not going to be easy. But I mean, think about it, even in the sense of the world we know today as success, look at those successful people. I mean, people who are working really well-paying jobs, they didn't get there easily. Mm-hmm. They went to school. They spent, you know, some of them 10, 12 years in school.
Intentional.
You have to make a choice. So realize that living for God in some sense is kind of the same way. Your journey is going to look different, but you're going to see things that those people never get to see. Mm-hmm. And when I say, I mean, it's a whole nother story, but I could take you down a road of so many little details that the Lord paid attention to in my life. And I know I'm not the only one, but if I hadn't made those choices, you know, if I'd have just fallen under the peer pressure, mm-hmm. I would have never given God that opportunity because I'd have just made those decisions on my own and never asked for his advice or never asked for his answer. But because I made a choice and let him be involved in all of it, I mean, it is crazy the little things God cares about. Mm-hmm. And I get to tell that now because I made that choice.
When you say that, I think about giving God room to work. You know, maybe at least for me, I've been in that place of trying to pray and trying to be intentional. But then if it doesn't happen in an instant, if I don't get that direction or that help in an instant, it's like, well, I tried it, Lord. But just approaching it with patience and giving God time, giving him room to work in your life. And then you're like, oh my God, yes, look at everything that you did, but it's in giving him time and room to work.
Intentionally letting right. him do what he wants to do. There's a quote, you always have a choice if you have the courage to make it. It's not always easy to do, right. but when God created Adam and Eve in the garden, he put in mankind the freedom of choice. Mm-hmm. And if we choose to follow him, his choices for me far outweigh anything
yeah.
that I may think right now, temporary, this is what I want. But if I will choose sometimes to forsake, sometimes to embrace, sometimes walk away, sometimes walk with, but I have a choice.
Yeah.
I have to be intentional of where I'm going.
Yeah.
And that's a God-given gift. I sure love you, lady.
Well, I love y'all. And I was a little caught off guard to be asked to do this, but I'm so thankful for the opportunity. I enjoy talking about the goodness of God, you know, how good he's been to me. So I've enjoyed it.